Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 97 of the JB Sism Show. Today, I am answering five questions most new bloggers struggle with. In other words, I'm going to answer things that you've been thinking about, and I hope I get it right.
Do you have a message to share and wonder, how do I get heard? Broadcasting from the beautiful lakes of Minnesota and the Twin Cities, welcome to the JB Sism Show. This show will motivate you with clarity and help you find your voice so you can take your message to the next level. Now, here's your host, Jason Sism.
And my goal each and every week is to take my message to the next level here at jbsism.com. Well, my friends, welcome to today's show. And this show is dedicated and designed to helping you find your voice so you can succeed in your family, your ministry, and your life. That's right, my friends. My goal is to give you the tools and the guts that you need so you can transform lives and reach the world with the message that God has put on your heart. Well, you have maybe just started your blog and now are asking yourself the question, what's next? Running a blog seems daunting. It's frustrating when everybody you read online says you need to focus on SEO or have that media kit. What are those things anyway? And are they even necessary? And what about setting up a theme for your website without spending and dropping a lot of cash? Well, my friends, in today's episode, we're going to be answering five of the most common questions that new bloggers struggle with. I plan to tackle these questions, break their answers down into bite-sized chunks you can understand. My friends, you're listening to the JB Sism Show. And it is good to be back behind the microphone as always. It is about 11:30 at night on May 2nd. You're getting this episode in just a few hours. But I was up and watching the Minnesota Twins win their third game in a row. So go Twins. I'm pretty excited about that. Dozier had a great game. He had two home runs. Maurer had a home run. It was just a good game. It was a fun game to watch. I watched probably two-thirds of the game. I missed the first part of it, but that's okay. So here I am, 11:30 at night, recording this episode. So I'm going to keep this episode short. And today we're diving into five of the most common questions a lot of new bloggers struggle with. Now, if you have just arrived at this podcast and you've not been around for very long, give you a little bit of backstory on who I am. I've been blogging here at jbsism.com since about 2009 and really kind of started doing online blogging on Facebook using the Facebook notes. Remember those things? I started there in about 2007. Well, in 2009, I was gearing up to start thinking about publishing my novella, Divine Providence. And you can find that at the store. Just go to jbsism.com/products, and you can find a link to it right there. But I wanted an avenue where I could kind of start talking about what was on my heart. I wanted to have the kind of the weekly musings of Jason Sism. So I started this blog. And a lot of the questions I'm going to answer today are questions that I struggled with and I didn't know a whole lot about, and so quite frankly, I ignored them. Now, I think when you're starting out, some of these things you can ignore. Others of them, I encourage you to start learning and become more proficient at them as you start blogging more regularly. Well, to give you a little bit of a backstory on where today's episode is coming from, I'm part of several different Facebook groups. And in these groups, there are a ton of bloggers who are asking questions all the time. And I frequent some of these groups, and I'll answer questions here and there, give people some tidbits, and help them understand a little bit better on this whole idea of blogging and help them take their blogs to the next level. So I'll answer questions, and I'll post some of the stuff that I do at jbsism.com so that they can learn a little bit more and take their message to the next level. Well, today there was a truckload of questions. And now these Facebook groups, I don't own these Facebook groups. They're just groups that I am a part of, groups that I belong to. But I wanted to take some of these questions that I've come across, and I can't answer all of these questions because I have too many other things to focus on. I have this podcast I got to do. I have church work I have to do. I have family life. So I can't just sit on other people's Facebook groups and answer all these questions. I leave that to the group leaders. But I wanted to take some of these and I wanted to answer them today because I felt that these are questions that I've been getting from other bloggers, new bloggers who are just kind of jumping on board with blogging. And these are questions that I'm seeing in a lot of these groups. So I'm going to jump in today, jump in right here and answer these questions. And maybe along the way I can help you. If you're just starting out with blogging, I can help you take your message to the next level. So here we go. Five of the most common questions that I see bloggers asking. Number one, what are some of the best ways you have found to automate your blogging? That, I think, is one of the biggest questions I see in these groups all the time. And people want to know, how do I automate my blogging? How do I make this a simpler process? So if you are been blogging for any period of time, you know that your audience usually likes consistency. If you're just new to blogging, audience and people who read your stuff, they like consistency. So if you know the message and you know what your people are wanting to read, they know that every Monday you have that blog post coming out, and so they come to your website every Monday to read what you have written. They expect every Monday, they look for every Monday, and then when you don't publish on Monday and you publish on Wednesday instead, they feel like they miss out, and then they come back on that next Monday and you have two new posts and they're like, whoa, I don't have time to read all of this. So people like consistency with blogging. Well, the problem with consistency, as good as it is, you're going to find you're not going to want to be writing and publishing a blog post while you're on vacation. It's just kind of how it is. And I have found people online where they're saying, oh, I was on vacation, but I had to pop my computer out and had to quickly write a blog post because I knew I needed to get it out because everybody is counting on that post. Well, you don't want to have to be working and writing a post while you're on vacation. And I think this is where automation comes in incredibly handy. This is where automation can really save your bacon, so to speak. So here are a few things that you can do to automate your business, automate your online blog, and make your life a little bit easier. Number one is you can batch produce your content. Batch produce your content. What do I mean by that? Well, I mean, let's say you know you're going to be gone for the Christmas holiday season. And this is what I did over the Christmas holiday season, is I ended up recording a couple of episodes of the blog or the podcast, and I wrote about two or three blog posts, and over the course of a three-week period of time, I had scheduled them using the built-in WordPress scheduler. And I highly, if you're not on WordPress and you're a blogger, I encourage you to get on WordPress. It is the best platform for blogging today, in my opinion. About 23%, not two-thirds, holy cow, 23% of most websites on the internet today are on the WordPress platform. So that tells you how popular it is. So batch produce your content. So if you know you're going to be gone for a period of time, And you know you need at least maybe two or three blog posts out while you're away. Sit down, write them, and schedule them. And so what you do is you format them, you get all your pictures together, you upload them to your blog, and you schedule it to come out on the days that you want that content to come out. And if you batch produce your content, it's going to make your life easier, and you can just get that stuff scheduled and ready to go. And then the nice thing is, if you have an email provider that you're using, you can schedule all of your emails to go out just slightly after your blog post publishes to the website. And you can have everything automated in that regard. So you do all the work ahead of time, and all the robots do the work for you. The other thing you can do is, if you're going to be away, and I do this every time I publish a blog post, is secondly, you can set up your WordPress blog using Automattic's Jetpack plugin. And so you have to use WordPress for this. And you have to have a WordPress.com account, but you can download Jetpack from Automattic. If you have a self-hosted website on the WordPress.org platform, WordPress.com and WordPress.org are two completely different animals. WordPress.com is a free blogging site that you house on WordPress.com. You can't have plugins, you can't monetize, you can't do a whole lot there in terms of customization unless you pay through the nose, like $80 a month through the nose. But what you can do is have a self-hosted site through Bluehost, and you install WordPress.org, and then you can have plugins and all of this. Well, Jetpack is just a plugin that helps make your site more functional. Well, one of the things I love about Automattic's Jetpack is once I schedule a blog post, there's a little box that I can type in a social media message. I can add all my hashtags. I can add anything I want in there up to, I think, Twitter's 140 character limit. And then I can schedule it to Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and I think there's a couple others on there. I think those are the three I use: Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Once you schedule your content at 6 a.m. when your blog goes live, let's say, it's going to push that content out to your email provider, which then sends the email on to your subscribers. It's going to push it onto your website. It's going to send it out to Twitter. It's going to send it out to Facebook, and it's going to send it out to LinkedIn or Instagram or any of these other sites that you have connected to your Jetpack plugin. And that's the great thing, is it just does it. It's like magic. You publish the blog post or schedule the blog post. Once it publishes, everybody gets notified and it gets published everywhere instantly. It is the coolest thing since sliced bread. Well, the other thing you can do with your social media, and this is what I did, because I have both a personal Facebook account and I have a author's or blogger's Facebook account. And one is actually a page, the other one is my personal account. Well, what I did is I connected Twitter and Facebook together. So anytime I publish to Facebook, it goes on to Twitter. Every time I publish on Twitter, it publishes on Facebook. And so that's really cool. So if I'm doing something on the fly, or there's, let's say, a blog post that I want to promote, I'll click tweet, and it will hit both Facebook and Twitter at the same time. And so that's pretty cool. And so you want to connect your Facebook and Twitter accounts so it makes it feel like you're everywhere at once. The fourth thing that you want to use is a content scheduler, something like Buffer or Hootsuite. Buffer or Hootsuite are social media publishing schedulers. And so you can schedule different tweets, you can schedule different blog posts, you can schedule different anything you want to promote on social media, you schedule through these programs. Buffer is great. Buffer is probably one of my favorites. Hootsuite is a second favorite of mine. I have both accounts and I use them kind of interchangeably. And this is going to automatically publish content for you, and you can schedule it out as far out as you want. Buffer, you pay, I think, $10 a month, and Hootsuite is about the same. They do have free options, which is currently what I'm using. Probably going to be upgrading here soon, but free is still good. And with Buffer, you can schedule up to 10 posts, I think. So once a week, you can set up all of your social media stuff that you want to send out on top of all of your blog stuff and on top of anything else that you do outside of scheduling. But you can have like 10 posts a week hit social media, and then everything else you can do by hand if you want. Or like I do with WordPress, is it automatically does it for me. So I don't have to think about my social media too much. Everything gets posted automatically for me. And then CoSchedule is another great content scheduler. It's about $30 a month. You can schedule all of your stuff and then reschedule it later on the calendar system. So it keeps everything that you publish on WordPress in front of all of your people. And CoSchedule is a great addition to Buffer and Hootsuite. So those, I think, are some of the best ways to help you automate what you do on your blogging. You want to work smarter, not harder. And so if you do all of the work up front, schedule it all, you don't have to think about it for some time. And then you can just batch do everything, like 2-3 days a week, you're batch producing stuff for the next several weeks. So give that a try, and I think you're going to find you're going to take your message to the next level. The second question is this: what are considered good website numbers or social media numbers before you create what's called a media kit? So what are some good numbers before you can create a media kit? Well, here's the deal. A lot of bloggers desire to begin monetizing their site, or maybe they've written a book and everybody tells you, you got to have your media kit. You got to have your media kit. Well, what the heck is a media kit? Well, a media kit is just simply a page on your website or a PDF download that promotes you, your business, or your books and services. It's a way to let potential buyers or radio and TV hosts or advertisers know what you are all about. That's what a media kit does. Now, here's the deal. You don't need a media kit. You don't need one. And really, in some regards, you can have a media kit right away if you want. But you don't need one. In fact, I don't even have a media kit. Now, I'm going to be producing a media kit here down the road, but I don't have one. I just send people to my About page, or I send people to my Start Here page, and I say, everything you need to know about me is on those two pages. If you want to know any of the stuff that I sell, go to my store, and I just give people my website. Now, media kits can be good, especially if you write a book, and you're trying to promote that book to podcasters, to radio, to TV. They're going to want to know a media kit so they can add stuff to their website. It gets them to know you a little bit more. Well, what does a media kit need to include? What do you need to put one together? So, like I said, you don't need a media kit. And it doesn't matter if you have a lot of people coming to your site or you have nobody coming to your website. You don't need one. But you can have one if you want. Here are some of the things that you can include on a media kit. And I think these are good to have as well on your about page. But And you can use your about page as a media kit, just so you know. One is a mission statement. You know, what drives you? What drives your service? What drives your book? What drives your blog? What is it that makes everything tick? Have a well thought out mission statement or a purpose or a propositional statement. Something that is very clear as to the goal and the motivations behind what you do. You want to make sure you do that. I talk a lot about that in last week's podcast episode. You can go to jbsism.com/096 and listen to that episode. So jbsism/096 and listen to that. And I talk about how to build a mission statement. Secondly is have something about who you are and your accolades. You know, what makes you an authority on this topic? What makes you the perfect person that people need to come to so that they know what they need to do? You know, why are you the go-to person? What makes you so special? And so you want to make sure you include something like that on your media kit. Testimonials are another great thing. If you have people who have used your services, used your products, get them to write testimonials and then include those on your media kits. Frequently asked questions are good, especially if you're going to be going for interviews. Frequently asked questions, these are questions that interviewers can pull and use to ask you, but also gives them some answers to some of the questions that people may ask in regards to who you are, what you do, and why you are doing what you're doing, if that makes sense. Interviews, you can say, yep, I'm available for interviews for podcasts, radio, television. What sales and products are you offering? Now, here's the deal. You can have all of these. You can have as few of these as you want. It's up to you. But here's the deal. You don't need a media kit. I don't think it's necessary for a blogger to have a media kit. If somebody asks for a media kit, write one up or fix up your about page and send people there. But otherwise, I don't think you need one, and I don't think you need to concern yourself about one. You know, and in some regards, I'm probably not even going to have one. Thinking about putting one together, but I probably won't do it. And I don't think you need to fret about it either. The third question that I get a lot, and that I've seen a lot, is how do you improve bounce rates? And what are typical percentages in the early stages of blogging? Now, I need to clear up the air and clarify something. You may have heard about bounce rates. You may have heard about Google Analytics. You may have heard, focus on the numbers, focus on the numbers. And you got to get your bounce rates as low as you can. You know, it's like, you know, what's that? The poll and people kind of trying to, the limbo. You know, how low can you go on the limbo? You know, that's not what our focus should be. Our focus as bloggers should be creating good quality content for people to consume. If you're trying to do everything, and I heard this from Dave Jackson on his podcast episode from this week, if you're doing everything you can to keep the robots happy, you're missing out on your audience. I don't think it's so much about keeping the robots happy as much as it is keeping the people you're ministering to, the people you're writing to, the people that you are forming this blog for happy. That's what it really counts. And that's what really matters. So I don't think the numbers are all that important. I mean, to a point they are, and you need to know what your numbers are. You need to know what your bounce rate is so you can fix something that is amiss. So, you know, should you focus on your bounce rates and get them as low as you can? Well, what's a bounce rate? Well, here's the deal. If you've set up Google Analytics, they're going to show you bounce rate. Well, a bounce rate is when somebody enters your web page or enters your website for the first time or return back, and then they exit that page and they leave your website. So they're not going, let's say, from homepage to about page to podcast episode 97 page, and then they leave your website. Google is only tracking, they don't track the page to page to page so much as they track when it comes to bounce rate. They're tracking when you enter the site and when you leave the site. How long are you staying on the site? And sometimes how long you stay on the site is relative. I don't pay too much attention to the numbers of how many minutes somebody is on my website. But you're going to find a lot of information on the internet that's going to tell you your bounce rate should be as low as possible, and you need to try to keep it under 60% bounce rate. Because if you are, you're doing really good as a blogger. Well, here's the deal. And I have some really good news for you. If you have a bounce rate of 73, 75, even 79%, I'm at 73% for my site. You're still doing extremely well. Because Google is tracking when they enter your site and when they leave your site. And so if they're going from homepage to about page to contact page to your podcast page and then they leave your site, Google says, oh, they left your site. They left your site. Oh, you need to fix that. They left your site. Well, here's the thing. People are going to leave your site. Or let's say they leave your site up and they click over to a new tab and they go to Google something. Google Analytics says, oh, they left your site. Your site's still up. And here's the deal. If somebody says that, well, your site's been up for a half hour, well, they could be checking their email or on the phone or whatever, and they're going to come back, and they've not read your stuff, and then they'll leave your site, and Google says, oh, that was a bounce rate. Now, a lot of bounce rates you're going to find is not so much if you're doing good or bad, but a bounce rate could also be a sign of robots crawling your website and saying, I'm going to check out these web pages and then leave the website. And so you're going to have to look at some of the data, go deeper digging into the data, and you're going to find, why do I have a high bounce rate? And then you're going to see, oh, it's this robot that's crawling my website. Well, if I block this robot, that means my bounce rate's going to go down. So a bounce rate isn't always something you're going to want to pay attention to. It's good to keep an eye on, but it's not something you're going to really want to pay attention to. And I know I don't pay a whole lot of attention to it, because here's the deal. I want to focus all of my attention on how many return visitors I'm getting. I want to focus all of my attention on how many new visitors I'm getting every month to my website. Those numbers are going to show if you're doing better or worse than just a simple bounce rate. I could care less about a bounce rate. I can't tell you how many times I'll go to a website, I'll quickly scroll through the page, and if I like the article, but I don't have time to read it, I will save it into Evernote, and I'll leave the website. And so I'm counted as one of those evil bounce rate guys. So you're going to want to lay off on the idea of trying to lower your bounce rate. Focus on your return visitors. Focus on the new visitors. Focus on your content, because that is what's going to make a great website. So, that being said, the fourth question, and I'm trucking right through these. The fourth question is this. What is the best way to get people to sign up for your lead generators or your content upgrades? What is the best way to make that happen? Now, you may have figured out that the last several weeks I've been talking a lot about email and email opt-in, product creation, and getting people to sign up for email newsletters. Well, here's the deal. Email signups is the number one way to build your online influence. Everyone talks about using social media to build your blog, but I'm here to tell you, building an email list is better. And because I'm really now in the beginning stages of building my email list, I have to tell you, I wish I would have done it sooner, because I've missed out on a huge opportunity over these last several years. And you're going to hear that from many bloggers. They're going to say, I wish I would have built my email list sooner. So start today. Now, if you ever want to sell any products, you want to sell any books, you want to sell any services, having an email list makes it easier to get your message to those who care the most. Your email subscribers. It's a very intimate thing to have an email subscriber because people only allow so many others into their email inbox. When you arrive at a website, you're going to often find an email opt-in form somewhere at the top, maybe in the middle of a page or at the bottom of a page, or sometimes those pesky little pop-ups, which, here's the deal, WordPress has awesome pop-up capabilities. So, you know those pop-up blockers that a lot of people have on their browsers? WordPress bypasses those, so that's pretty cool. So here's the deal. If you want to sell products, books, or services, having an email list is going to make it easier to get your message to those who care. When you arrive, you're asking people, when people arrive at your website, you're asking them on a simple email form to give you their name and email so that you can give them a free gift. Now, here at jbcism.com, I have several free gifts that I give everybody who signs up. One, I give a ebook called Ready, Set, Publish, 7 Reasons Why You Should Publish Your Book Today. And that's been probably one of my most popular opt-ins lately. So if you want to know why you should be publishing your book, just head over to jbcism.com/subscribe and you can download that ebook. I also have other email opt-ins where you can subscribe to my Friday newsletter. I have email opt-ins where you can download a Evernote template to craft a better blog post. So there are different email opt-ins, and that the one for the crafting a better blog post, that's going to be at the very bottom of today's episode. You can find that at jbcism.com/097. And you can subscribe right there and get that free Evernote template. But here's the deal. You're going to want to place these email forms in a place that people are going to see them the most. So some of the most popular places, some of the best places to place this, these email opt-in forms are the homepage. So if you have a homepage, put it right there near the top so that people can't miss it. Secondly, the right-hand sidebar of your blog. Right-hand near the top, right-hand side. That is the most popular place to put an email opt-in form because that's where people expect it to be. So if people are looking for a free gift from you, that's one of the best places to find it. And then I also recommend at the bottom of every single blog post, because if you put something at the bottom of the blog post, they read it all the way through, they like your stuff, they have a place there to say, yep, I want your free content. I want your newsletter. I want to get every blog post in my email inbox. And then I also recommend in the footer of the website. So you want to just plaster it everywhere so that, in other words, you're making it stupid easy for people to sign up. And that's what you want. You want to make it incredibly easy for people to sign up for your stuff. Now, if you don't have a email service provider like MailChimp or ConvertKit or whatever, I highly recommend that you get something that's going to help you get people onto your email list. Now, I personally recommend that you use ConvertKit. Now, ConvertKit is not free. It's about $30 a month for the first 1,000 subscribers, but I highly recommend ConvertKit as your email service provider because they make it really easy to create all of these different opt-ins, and the best part is They have a really easy to use plugin that you can download from their site and install it onto your WordPress site. They make it stupid easy. And that's what you want. So here's the deal. I have partnered with ConvertKit and I am an affiliate for them. So if you click the link, you're going to be helping me keep this blog floating for another day. So if you want a free 30-day money-back guarantee trial of ConvertKit, they don't offer free trials, but they offer a 30-day money-back guarantee. Just go to jbsism.com/ConvertKit, ConvertKit. So jbsism.com/ConvertKit. And you can subscribe there, sign up for their 30-day trial. You can get your money back, and I know that you're going to love it. And they have not given, from my understanding, a single dime back to anybody. So maybe we can help them keep that trend moving. All right, well, finally, number five, and we're going to wrap this show up here with this. Number five that people ask all the time, I don't have a lot of money to spend. What are the best free WordPress themes that I can use? What are some of the best free themes that I could use? So I'm going to give you some of my favorites here, and you can look these up using WordPress.org. And you could just search for them right there. Number one is the 2013 theme. 2013, this was made by Automattic. This is every year they release a brand new theme for WordPress. It's a really clean, very nice theme. It's incredibly customizable. You can add basically whatever you want because it has such a clean code. They allow you to make a really easy child theme, and you can customize it to do just about anything that you want. And so 2013 is a great theme. 2016, the one from last year, was also a really good one. It's, again, it has very clean code. It's easy to customize, easy to create the child themes. Actually, all of these are easy to create child themes for. And 2013 and 2016 are stupid easy to use. That's my new favorite phrase, stupid easy. But yeah, they're really easy. I encourage you to check them out. Thirdly is a theme called Simple Bootstrap. Bootstrap is a style of PHP coding. And I don't need to get into the technicalities of PHP. I would highly recommend hiring a developer if you want to use PHP. You can talk to me if you want. You can just go to jbsism.com/contact and you can talk to me there about PHP and I can help answer some of your questions. But Simple Bootstrap is a beautiful theme. It's gorgeous. It's easily customizable and they just have some nice wide images that you can use or wide places for your images. And it's just a gorgeous, gorgeous one. A free template that I'm using right now is called AccessPress Parallax. Parallax is that thing where if you scroll, you have one image scrolling at a different speed and another image crawling over the top or text crawling over the top. And so it's like the image is moving as you're scrolling. That's what Parallax is. It's really nice. This is a great theme for a one-page website, which I have over at livinglightsmedia.com. Living, LIVING, lights, LIGHTS, media.com. So livinglightsmedia.com. It's a one-page website. AccessPress Parallax makes it easy to create a one-page website. If you don't need anything more than that, it's a great theme to use. It's simple. It's easy to customize to a point, but just to get it set up and looking beautiful right out of the box, AccessPress Parallax is a great theme to use. And they have some pro options that you can buy from them as well. And And you really can't go wrong with any of these themes. If you try any of these themes out, I know that you're going to be incredibly happy with your choice. And you don't have to spend a lot of money on themes, because if you get a developer or you know a friend who knows something about web design, you can make a beautiful website really, really quick for very little money. And yeah, so there you have it. 5 questions, my friends, that new bloggers struggle with. I hope I did my best at answering them and helping you come to a consensus on some of this stuff. So you can find the full show notes of today's show over at jbsism.com/097. And if you want to sign up for my free email newsletter, I encourage you to do so. Head over to jbsism.com/subscribe, and you can download that free book and you can learn more. Well, my friends, have a great rest of your week. My name is Jason Sism. I will see you right back here next week for another brand new episode. Bye-bye for now.
Thanks for listening. This has been the JB Sism Show. You can find the archives of the show at jbsism.com or on iTunes. Don't forget to visit jbsism.com to download a special ebook when you sign up for the free newsletter. You'll get new episodes, updates, and so much more. This podcast is copyright Jason Sism and Sism Enterprise, all rights reserved. Until next week, stay motivated with clarity, take your message to the next level, and find success in your family, ministry, and life.